half of New Zealand adults don't have a will prepared, despite having dependents and assets. If you don't make the decision about what happens to them legally, the court will do it for you, and it might not be the decision you would have chosen. Bill Holland's a consultant at Holland Beckett Law, a firm based in Tauranga with expertise in family law. When last with us, listeners sent in so many questions we didn't have time to make it through all of them. So he's back with us to answer those questions and any others you send in. You can text to 2101 or email 9tonoon@rnz.co.nz with your questions. Bill, welcome back.
Oh, good to talk to you again, Catherine. Thanks for the contact.
Remind us the fundamentals of what happens if you don't have a will in place. What are the consequences?
Okay, if you don't have a will, then the Administration Act applies, and it says that the first $155,000 that you've got in your estate goes to your spouse or partner, and if you have any children, then two-thirds of the balance goes to the children, which is a surprise, and one-third goes to the spouse. So in other words, it's totally inappropriate. You really must have a will.
Lots of complications, particularly where there has been a remarriage or a new partnership forged, and there's this question of what goes to children, perhaps adult children from a first marriage, and what goes to a second spouse, Bill. Is this one of the most common complications if you're not explicit?
Yes, it is really complicated there. It's becoming increasingly common. People are getting together, their first relationship might finish, and they enter into a new relationship, which is fine. There will be children from the first relationship, and you've got to decide what provision you want to make for your children and what provision you want to make for your new partner. And that depends entirely on the circumstances, because the situations can be just so different. One partner might have children, the other might. Both partners might have children from the prior relationship. They might even have children together. So it really, the situation is so different. It depends on the age of the partners, who they're wanting to provide for. And if the couple get together later in life for company, they both sides normally have their own assets, and that can be retained, and they might not need to make provision for the partner. They may want their estate to go to direct to their children. If the other partner doesn't have assets of their own, you might want to leave that partner what we call a life interest, in other words, a benefit during their lifetime. But on their death, you want it to go back to your own children. You don't want it to go to his or her children. So that is really important.
What does the law say currently, though? If you die without a will, do the assets go to your legal partner or spouse, irrespective of what your intentions may have been to leave assets for your children?
No, they go back, as I say, in accordance with the Administration Act. You take your total estate of, and let's say you've got children from the prior relationship. The first $155,000 goes to the spouse, and the balance goes two-thirds to your children and one-third to the spouse. And that may be appropriate if the children are from a prior relationship. What's really confusing is if husband and wife have their own children but don't have a will, you'd assume that everything would go to the, if the husband dies, you'd assume everything would go to the wife. That's what most people expect. And that's not the case. If the assets are owned jointly, well, of course, that's different. If the house is owned jointly, well, then it passes automatically to the spouse, so that's okay. If for some reason the house is in his name or her name, then it goes according to his or her will. The spouse may have a claim under the Property Relationship Act, which is a different thing altogether. But as far as his estate is concerned, as I say, it's just funny, arbitrary provision that a first $155,000 goes to the spouse and the balance doesn't go to the spouse at all. It goes two-thirds to the children and one-third to the spouse.
So part of the risk is you may be having a battle between two acts over who gets what, if nothing else.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. If you've got a will, that solves most of... If you've got a properly produced will, that will solve the problems.
Let's get to some of the questions from last time. Let's have a look. One person asked, how can I make my will watertight so one person cannot contest it and overrule my wishes financially?
Well, the starting point is no, you can't make a will watertight, because there's the Property Relationship Act and there's the Family Protection Act. You can't block a claim being made. What you can do is, just because a person can make a claim doesn't mean to say it's going to be effective. So I mentioned to you last time that the Family Protection Act is designed to make sure that the will maker has fulfilled his or her moral obligations to that person. And if you're cutting out one of the children or reducing what one of the children is getting, then you need to basically, you can't block that child. You can say in your will you're not leaving anything to that child, and then you'd have a provision there to say, I've been advised by my lawyer to the provisions of the Family Protection Act, and I believe I fulfill my moral obligations to my son. Then quite separately, you would have basically a note, a memorandum, or a letter from that person explaining why, where you'd say, look, I love my children. I love all of my children equally. Sadly, I've had nothing to do with my son for the last 20 years. He's chosen to take that course, which I'm saddened by, but I respect his wishes, and I trust that he will honour my wishes on that same basis, and that's why I have not included them. But I do believe I fulfil my moral obligations. So if you have that sort of thing, it makes it very hard for that son to succeed in a claim. You can't stop him making a claim, but you can certainly go a long way towards making sure that he doesn't succeed in his claim.
Goodness, I've just got a very complicated case along these lines that I'll come back to if we have time.
Sure.
But
sure.
First, I want to just ask, there's a lot of questions coming in about people who are single. I'll read them all and then you give us a general answer. One is, what happens if you're single but with assets like a house and have a mortgage but don't have a will? Another says, I'm currently single with no dependents. What happens to my inheritance from my parents if I die before them? Will it still go to those specified in my will when my parents go away or pass away? Or do my parents need to specify this? Let's just go with that, because, again, this perception that if you die single without dependents, it might not bother you, but that will is still going to be determined by someone. So can you speak to those situations?
Okay, starting off with the parents, and they've got, let's say they've got three children. For a start, if one of the parents dies, it usually goes to the other parent. That's fine. And then if the other parent dies and one of those three children have already died and they haven't got around to change, the parent hasn't got around to changing the will, then it will depend on what the parent has said in their will. Normally they'd say, I'll leave it to my three children in equal shares, and if any of them die before me, it goes to the other two children. So that's the starting point. It may be that they'll say, but if they've got children, then it goes to those children, being the grandchildren, will share equally between them the one-third share with their parents would have got. So if you've got a single person who has died before his parents, then it doesn't go to his estate. It goes to his surviving siblings. Is that clear?
Yes, it is. So does that mean that there needs to be an express statement in the parents' will?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It may be that normally it just goes to the surviving children. So you've got three children, one dies, the four parents have died, and normally it just gets split two ways instead of three ways. That's by far the most usual situation.
One more.
But if you specifically say, I want to, if the usually, and bearing in mind that after the child has died, the parents, any change of circumstances like that, the parents should always review the will and say, okay, is this what we would have wanted? Are we happy for it to go to just the two surviving children? Is that okay? Or should we be doing something in memory of our son who has died? That's the decision the parents can make. And any major change of circumstances, their will should be reviewed.
Okay, let's crack through. We're into quickfires, Bill.
Yep.
If there's a prenup between both partners, one partner has a will and the other doesn't, what happens there?
Okay, the one who has a will, it just passes according to the terms of his will. If the other one is a her and she hasn't got a will and she dies, it goes get back to that business of the Administration Act where there is a dies intestate is the expression that we lawyers use, but it goes back to that idea of the first $155,000 going to the spouse and two-thirds, assuming there are children, two-thirds to children, the other one-third to the spouse. But so you're back to the idea, it's the same situation really, they've just died without a will and therefore you rely on that law, which isn't very satisfactory at all. It doesn't automatically go to the partner.
Quick hit, is it legally binding to handwrite amendments on an existing will and just date and sign it? Does it need to be witnessed?
No. Their formalities are quite important. Up until a few years ago, if it wasn't done properly, it was just completely ignored. They changed the Will Act to say that a will can be validated. So in that situation you've just mentioned, you've got a will and you've changed your mind 5 years later and you thought, well, we'll just make these changes and we'll handwrite these alterations, we'll initial it and we'll get two people to witness it. An application would need to be made to the court, to the High Court, to validate that. Now, that's an expensive and time-consuming exercise. It's an awful lot cheaper to just get the will updated.
Very quickly, another listener's told us KiwiSaver's meet a lot of younger people now have assets that pretty easily take them over the limit where probate is necessary. Do KiwiSaver providers need to warn of this? And actually, someone else is asking about the real basics, Bill. We don't have time to go into detail, but can you just explain probate?
Yeah, probate, when a person dies, names his wife as the executor of the will and leaves everything to her. That's the most usual situation, his or hers. If assets are jointly owned, you don't actually need to apply for probate in relation to those assets. If you have bank accounts or if you own assets in your own name, and the main one which people forget about is KiwiSaver, they forget about that, and if it's over $15,000, let's say the husband has died, the wife then applies to the High Court. She supplies a copy of the will to the High Court saying, look, I'm named as the executor in the will and the court give me the authority to carry out the terms of the will. And the court says yes, and that authority is called probate. So when we talk about applying for probate, it's basically confirmation from the High Court that, yes, indeed, this person is the executor of the estate and therefore entitled to deal with it. So when you go to the bank or KiwiSaver or whatever, they know they can rely on that. So that's what probate is. It's basically confirmation from the High Court that person's validly entitled to act on the estate. Now, it's only taking about 3 to 4 weeks now to get probate. So up until recently, it was taking about 3 to 4 months, but they've streamlined the system. So it's not a major process now. It's not as bad as it was.
Bill, there are so many more questions. We'll get you back shortly. Listeners, we'll keep the questions, we promise. I don't know how quickly you can do this one. It represents what a lot of people are asking. If we have to wait, tell me, Bill. Both my parents are remarried. If my biological parent dies first, can my step-parent change the will so I get a reduced amount of inheritance to what my biological parent wanted?
Starting point, there should, of course, be a contracting out agreement between the biological parent and the new partner.
Do most people do that when they remarry?
It depends on their stage of life, really. Nobody likes the thought of it, but most people, well, there are two situations. One is if we separate, and therefore you definitely want to protect your situation so that the spouse doesn't finish up with more than a half of the total. It's also important in terms of what happens when you've died, because if it's your separate property as covered in the contracting out amendment, I think most people want their own children to ultimately inherit what they had. They might make some provision for the new partner, but they don't want to make provision for the new partner's children normally. So you ask the question, do most people sign a contracting out agreement? Probably not, because it is an expensive exercise.
But your point is, without it, this person's concern is valid.
Absolutely. And it's an awful lot more expensive if you haven't got a contracting out agreement.
Okay.
Yes, it's like a will. You know, if you haven't got a will, it's a heck of a lot more. The process for when you don't have a will is a lot more expensive and takes a lot more time than if you've got a will.
Okay.
A simple will is really the answer.
Bill, there's so many diverse questions, including an elderly single person who's having to pay a lot of money to get a psychogeriatric assessment with regard to one legal process. There's someone who wants to leave their money to a cat charity and wants to know if their family can challenge. The questions are brilliant, listeners. Keep them coming. We'll save them all, and Bill is coming back soon. Thank you, Bill Holland.
I'll come back.